Okay, so let's dive into Visa and MasterCard. And probably the first thing you need to just sort of forget is that idea they're credit card lenders.
Right. That's the big one. They don't lend money. They don't, carry the risk if you can't pay your bill.
No, really, they're tech companies, aren't they? Infrastructure.
Exactly. Think of them like digital railway tracks, VisaNet and the MasterCard network, securely moving transaction info all over the world.
Our whole goal here is to understand like how they started the same but are now heading in pretty different directions.
Okay. So they both use the same basic setup.
Yeah, identical foundation. It's called the four-party model, open loop.
Four parties.
Yeah.
So that's you, the cardholder, the shop, or merchant.
And then the two banks. Crucially, the issuing bank that's your bank, the one giving you credit, funding your reward points, all that, and the acquiring bank, which is the merchant's bank, handling the transaction on their end.
And Visa and MasterCard, they just connect those two banks, provide the network. Precisely. They run the secure communication lines for, getting the purchase authorized, clearing the funds, settling it all up. But again, zero credit risk for them.
Okay, but hang on. If they don't take the risk, why are they always in the news about, regulatory stuff around swipe fees? That seems odd.
Ah, good question. It's because they set the price structure for the whole system, even though they only keep a small fraction
A
themselves.
small fraction.
Yeah, their main income is from what they call assessment and network fees. Think of it as the toll for using their rails. It's often like really tiny, maybe 0.15%, 0.2% of the transaction value. That's their cut for running the tech.
Okay, so that tiny slice is their revenue, but the big chunk of the swipe fee, the 2% or 3% the merchant complains about.
That's mostly the interchange fee. And here's the key. Visa and MasterCard set that fee, but it goes directly to the issuing bank, your bank.
Why? Why set a high fee that goes to someone else?
It's the engine. They set it high enough so banks can afford to offer you great rewards, points, cash back, whatever. That makes you want to use the card more often.
Ah, okay, so more usage means more volume flowing over their networks.
Exactly. More volume means more of those tiny network fees for Visa and MasterCard. It's all about driving transaction volume onto their rails.
Got it. And this is where their strategies start to look different because of their size.
Precisely. Visa is just immense. The scale is hard to grasp.
Right, I saw the numbers. $15.7 trillion in total volume, something like 234 billion transactions last year alone.
Yeah. So Visa's strategy is pretty straightforward. Dominance through that sheer scale and utility. Their revenue, about $36 billion, is almost all tied to just processing those transactions.
Right.
Data processing, service fees, international fees.
So their future is just more transactions
Yeah.
everywhere.
Kind of. They call it the network of networks. They want Visa to be the default way all money moves, not just card payments. Think business-to-business payments, real-time transfers using things like Visa Direct. They want to be the essential global utility.
Okay, and MasterCard, they're number two, right? $9.8 trillion volume. So still huge, but not Visa huge.
Right. They can't really compete head-on just with scale. So they've taken a different path. Diversification. Specifically into services.
How does that show up?
Well, look at how they report their finances. They actually break out a whole separate segment called Value-Added Services and Solutions, or VAS.
Value-added services? Like what?
Things like cybersecurity consulting for banks, data analytics, helping banks run loyalty programs, stuff that isn't directly tied to a single card swipe.
And is that significant or just a side thing?
Oh, it's huge. That VAS segment brought in nearly $11 billion last year. That's almost 40% of their total revenue.
Wow, nearly 40%.
And crucially, it's growing faster. VAS grew nearly 17% year over year, while their core payment network business grew closer to 9.5%.
So they're becoming more like a tech consulting firm for banks built around payments.
That's a good way to put it. It creates stickier relationships with their clients, gives them revenue that's maybe less sensitive to regulatory pressure on interchange fees, and differentiates them from Visa's scale play.
Okay, so let's sum this up for, the listener. The takeaway is Visa is the massive, indispensable infrastructure aiming for maximum volume everywhere.
And MasterCard is the challenger, still huge in payments, but increasingly betting on becoming a diversified tech partner, selling valuable services around the transaction.
But they both face the same big clouds on the horizon.
Definitely. Two main ones. First, regulators never stop looking at those interchange fees. Any major changes there could really shake up the whole ecosystem they've built.
And the second.
Technology disruption. Things like account-to-account, A2A payments, where money moves directly between bank accounts, potentially bypassing the card networks entirely. That's a long-term threat.
So maybe the final thought here is, their future success isn't just about processing the next payment. It's really about how well they can innovate and make money from everything around that payment. The data, the security, the services.
Exactly. It's moving beyond just the rails to monetizing the whole ecosystem. That seems to be the key challenge and opportunity for both of them going forward.